And as you're being seated, you can take your Bibles and find your place tonight in the book of Ephesians. And we'll be there momentarily. But we are still rather new to another new year. Here we are just 7 days into 2026, and for a lot of people, the reality of lost resolutions, the reality of the same old, hasn't yet began to sink in for a lot of folks. They still have a little bit of optimism that a new year can bring new fortunes, new things their way, and so on and so forth. And while that can be true, the other truth is that we still live in a culture that celebrates strength, that celebrates physical strength. They celebrate emotional strength. They celebrate mental toughness, and yet every single day, many sincere, well-meaning Christians, they seem to be losing spiritual battles. I mean, just losing it every single day. I mean, you can't turn on the news sometimes and you hear of, you know, some Christian somewhere that has fallen and has fell. And the thing is, I don't believe they lose these battles because they don't love God, and not because they don't know the Bible, because for many of them, they do know the Bible. For many of them, they do love God. But for many, they lose because they are fighting spiritual battles with the wrong kind of strength. And so you're there in Ephesians chapter 6, and I think tonight we're just going to, for introduction, look at one verse, and that verse is verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, where the Apostle Paul gives this encouragement, where he gives this command, not a suggestion. This is a command from the Apostle Paul. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Right there, the Apostle Paul says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Now, when people today talk about being strong, what do they usually mean? Anybody have an idea when someone says, and they talk about being strong, what are they usually talking about? Anybody have an idea?
Physical strength.
Physical strength? Yeah. 9 times out of 10, that's usually what they're talking about. They're talking about a physical strength. Now, thinking about how they talk about strength, how is that physical strength different from what Paul is saying here? Anyone have an idea?
The understanding of what the Lord wants and tells us to be.
Yeah. What Paul is saying here is, listen, you know, you might be, physically speaking, you might be the weakest person in the world. You know, you might not be able to lift a cup of coffee without help. But if you're relying on the Lord and you're being strong in the Lord, then Paul is saying here, and you're doing what God tells you to do, then you have a strength in the Lord. And now, there in verse number 10, he starts with a word. And that word that he starts with is that word, finally. Finally. Now, That word is very important because that word connects what Paul was talking about in the first nine verses. And now we want to see why that finally really matters. The word finally here tells us that Paul, he's coming to a conclusion. He's now reaching the end of what he's trying to teach the church at Ephesus. And Ephesians, or you have your hand out there. You see there your introduction. Many Christians are losing spiritual battles not because they lack strength, but because they rely on the wrong kind of strength. Many Christians are losing spiritual battles not because they lack strength, but because they rely on the wrong kind of strength. So now we're moving here into the context of Ephesians and why this word finally matters. And Ephesians, the book of Ephesians overall, is preventative in nature. It's not corrective. And what Paul is trying to do here is he's not trying to fix a problem. He is trying to prepare believers before the fight even begins. You know, I remember years ago, my pastor, he used to preach what he would call preventative messages. Or he would talk about preventative prayer. In other words, praying for something or praying for somebody in such a way that you are trying to foresee, okay, these are some problems they might run into. Okay, now Lord, help them to avoid these problems. And that, you know, those problems can be spiritual, those problems can be physical, they can be moral, they can be ethical, they can be whatever you want them to be. But there's something to be said about having a preventative prayer life. Getting into a kind of a season where you're spending time with the Lord and saying, Lord, and even for ourselves, you know, Lord, I'm trying to live for you every single day, but Lord, I know myself. I know, you know what my pitfalls are. Lord, help me as I go out into this world. Lord, help me not to run off into the ditch of life, so to speak. And so Paul here, he's trying to prepare believers before the fight. And chapters 1 through 3, Paul is focusing on our identity in Christ. Paul is focusing on our identity in Christ. In other words, who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ after we get saved. And then chapters 4 and 5. So in chapters 1 through 3, he says, okay, this is who you are in Christ. This is salvation. And then chapters 4 and 5, he says, okay, now that you are saved, here's how you're supposed to walk as Christians. The first half of the book, chapters 1 through 3, it's more theological in nature. Chapters 4 and 5, it's more practical. Okay, how do I now live out what Paul just spent three chapters teaching me? And then chapter 6 focuses on spiritual warfare. Chapter 6 focuses on spiritual warfare, how we go to war spiritually. How we go to war spiritually. And here's what Paul is trying to get them and in turn us to understand. And that is, you cannot fight properly until you understand who you are. And so here's another question for us to ponder tonight. Why do you think Paul waited until all the way at the end of chapter 6, all the way to the end of the book, all the way to the end of the letter, to talk about spiritual warfare? Anyone have an idea?
He needed to lay the groundwork.
In essence, yeah. That's exactly what he had to do. He had to lay the groundwork. He had to get them to understand who they were in Christ. Because could you imagine if Paul started off chapter 1, okay, if you follow Christ, here's all the battles you're going to have. If that's how, you know, it started out with us, None of us would probably follow Christ. None of us would probably be in church tonight if the first thing we were presented was, okay, after you give your life to Christ, it's not all going to be sunshine and rainbows and unicorns. And no, it's going to be spiritual warfare after you get saved. No, none of us would want that. And so that's what Paul was doing here. He was wanting us to understand our identity before the battle. And so he says here, finally, and then he says two words. My brethren. Finally, my brethren. We see that this command is written to believers. This command is written to believers. So if you're here tonight and you're saved, you're born again, you know Jesus is your Savior, then you are already involved in spiritual warfare. Whether you realize it or not, every single morning you wake up, you are going out into a battleground. You are going out into a war zone. And in the Christian life, neutral ground does not exist. Neutral ground does not exist. And so we ask the question, why is it important to remember that spiritual warfare applies to all believers, to everybody, not just the strong or mature Christian? And I'll kind of get us started with that, because here's what happens. When you and I struggle as Christians, that can sometimes allow the devil to get into our hearts, to get into our minds and say, and plant seeds of, oh, well, why don't you look at so-and-so? They never have the problems you're having. They never have the issues you're having. They're such stronger and more mature Christians than you could ever think to be. And that's why it's important to realize, you know, the Bible talks about how it rains on the just and the unjust alike. And here Paul says, finally, my brethren. He didn't quantify that. He didn't break it up. He just said, my brethren, if you're a Christian, you're going to have spiritual warfare. Some days you're going to have your good days where you get the victory over Satan, and some days it's going to seem like he got the victory over you. And so then Paul, he gets into the biblical pattern here. And we see the biblical command to be strong. Notice again, verse number 10. Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong. Be strong. Paul's command here echoes throughout Scripture. It echoes throughout the Word of God. You don't have to turn there, but if you want to write it down and look it up later, Moses told Joshua to be strong. Moses told Joshua to be strong. Deuteronomy 31:6. Deuteronomy 31:6, the Bible says, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Joshua's confidence came from God's presence, not his personality. It came from who God was. Then we see, secondly, Joshua told Israel to be strong. Joshua told Israel to be strong. Joshua 1:9, the Bible says, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. See, Israel failed earlier because they trusted themselves. And sometimes that's where you and I fall. That's where you and I fail. Because we trust ourselves, and we trust our ways, and we trust our instincts, and we trust, you know, our own understanding. And the Bible says, no, we need to lean not on our own understanding, but fully trust in God. And so we see Moses told Joshua, Joshua told Israel, and then we see David told Solomon to be strong. David told Solomon to be strong. 1 Chronicles 28:20. 1 Chronicles 28:20, the Bible says, be strong and of a good courage, and do it. Strength came before the work. Strength came before the work, and God calls his people to strength before the battle. Before he ever sends you out to spiritual warfare, he tells us, be strong in me. Why do you think that is tonight? Why do you think God consistently tells his people to be strong before the battle or the task begins? Walt?
He's basically telling you to keep faith and trust him. If you don't keep faith and trust him, you're going to slip and mess up.
Exactly. Exactly. He gives us this command. He gives us this reminder, be strong. Because the battle we're about to fight is not our battle to fight alone. It's our battle to fight with his help. And so then we see here, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong. Now, so what does Paul not mean, though, by be strong? What it doesn't mean? Well, number one, Paul is not talking about willpower, self-confidence, or emotional toughness. No. Here we see that Paul is not telling the church at Ephesus. He's not saying be strong or not strength in yourself. Not strength in the flesh or willpower. Strength must come from the Lord. Strength must come from God. The Greek word here means to be empowered from an outside source. You know what that means? That means that this is a borrowed strength. This strength, this being strong, is not our own. You are not the generator. I am not the generator of it. You're the receiver. I'm the receiver. We receive his strength. So the natural question is then, well, what happens spiritually when Christians rely on willpower instead of God's power? And the answer to that is just simply, eventually, you know, just like as, you know, when we're driving a car and we're going on a, you know, a trip somewhere and, you know, we see the little gas light and it's getting down towards empty and you think, oh man, I can make it another mile. I can make it another 5 miles. And then before you know it, you're there on the side of the road, you're out of gas, and you're waiting on either your insurance company or AAA to come and fill you up so you can get back up on the road. Well, when we rely on our own willpower instead of God's willpower, instead of God's power, eventually, spiritually, we run empty. Eventually, spiritually, we find ourselves spiritually stranded somewhere on the side of the road, in the ditch of life. And so that brings us to the two essential elements tonight of spiritual strength. The two essential elements of spiritual strength. Let's notice again verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Element number one, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. This is a strength of relationship. You see, strength flows from closeness, not activity. And see, so many churches, they think, well, man, if, you know, if we're just busy, we're going to have a strong relationship with God. And that's not the case. The only way you're going to have a close relationship with God, the only way I'm going to have a close relationship with God is, are we staying close to God? Are we praying? Are we reading our Bible? Are we coming to church? Are we fellowshipping with God's people? Are we witnessing for him? Are we doing all the things that God tells us to do in his word? Are we being close to him? Again, you don't have to turn there, but Psalm 91, 1 and 2, the Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place Listen, I believe tonight all Christians, we need that secret place where we can get alone with God and we can just spend time. We can spend it in prayer. We can spend it reading our Bible. You know, I know that secret place, that quiet place is anytime I have to go out of town or I have to go, you know, run an errand in Elmira or Binghamton and Mandy doesn't happen to be with me. You know, I drive along and I turn on some Christian music and, you know, I turn it up really loud. Mandy, she doesn't really like it super, super loud, but I love it super, super loud, which is probably explains part of why I have, trouble hearing every now and again. But I like to just enjoy that drive from here to Binghamton or here to Elmira and just enjoy that time with the Lord. We saw, a couple years ago, we showed the movie War Room here at the church and how this older lady, she was a prayer warrior and she had this closet at home where she just would get in and get alone with God and she had have all the prayer requests all over the wall that she would be praying for. That strength flows from closeness and that relationship with God produces confidence. That relationship with God produces boldness. Think of a little child tonight. A little child is bold not because that little child is big and strong and powerful. No, that little child is usually bold and confident because he knows who his father is. And the little kid, they look up at dad. And there's nothing dad can't do. Well, guess what? You and I, when we look up at God, we're that little child. And there's nothing our father can't do. There's nothing our God can't do tonight. 1 John 4:4, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We serve a great and good God tonight. A weak daily relationship with God will affect our ability to resist temptation. It will affect our ability to resist discouragement. Because if we don't have a close relationship with God, when temptation comes, when discouragement comes, we'll think, oh man, well, God doesn't love me. And when temptation comes, we'll give in to that temptation. And so that's why we need that strong relationship. That's why we need that strong daily walk with God. But he says there, be strong in the Lord. And he closes out verse number 10, in the power of his might. Be strong, number one, in the Lord. And then number two, be strong in the power of his might. The first is a strength of relationship. This second one is a strength of resilience. I'm sorry, a strength of reliance. You see, God is not merely just this strong being, although he is. God is almighty. Jeremiah 32:27, is there anything too hard for me? That's a rhetorical question. There's nothing too hard for God tonight. Defeat often comes when we pray less, depend on ourselves more, assume we can handle it. But God's power is almighty. It's unlimited. It's limitless tonight. And victory comes through dependence. It comes through reliance on God, not human effort. It's all on him. And so we circle back to how we opened this study tonight. And the same premise. Why do Christians lose battles? And here's the truth tonight. We cannot win spiritual battles with carnal weapons. We cannot win spiritual battles with carnal weapons. And see, the problem tonight is not necessarily arrogance on our part. It's misplaced confidence. After all, 2 Corinthians 10:3 and 4, we do not war after the flesh. Carnal weapons cannot win spiritual battles. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we think of the carnal weapons and the weapons that we use. You know, we use reasoning. We use, well, Lord, if you'll just do this today, I'll turn over the new leaf tomorrow. And, you know, those are carnal weapons. And sometimes Christians use them when facing spiritual problems. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How do we do that? Verse number 11. And here's the whole crux of the series for the next few weeks. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the devil. I'm sorry, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, armor must be worn. Armor is not simply decorative. Right now at the house, in fact, if you go out the red steps here, this entrance, and if we have the sitting room light on at the house, you'll see in each window two silhouettes of a Batman cowl. Just his ears, you know, popping up. And a couple years ago, Mandy got me as a gift some display Batman cowls. And, you know, the comic books and such, Batman has an armory where he keeps those suits on display. Well, those suits, if he wants to accomplish his mission of fighting crime, he can't just stand there in the Batcave and look at the suits. He has to put them on. Well, for us as Christians tonight, our armor is not just decorative. We can't just, we'll look at how the Bible is a part of our armor. How many times are we guilty of, you know, we take our Bibles home and maybe they just go on the coffee table until it's time to come back to church the next time? It's in a sense just becoming decorative. Knowing about the armor of God is not the same as wearing the armor of God. A soldier who carries armor but refuses to put it on is still vulnerable. I was watching a TV show a couple months ago now, and it was a police show, and the police commissioner comes in and he's doing an inspection of all the officers getting ready to go out and go on duty, and he looks at one officer and he says, apparently it was a summer night, and he says, going to be pretty hot out there. The officer says, yes. And he says, be even hotter with your bulletproof vest. He says, yes. And he says, go put it on. And so this officer, he was going to get ready and go out without his vest on. Well, just sitting there in the locker is not going to do him any good if he gets shot. If we're going to resist the devil, if we're going to resist the wiles of the devil, then we need to put on the whole armor of God. And over the next several weeks, and I want you to think about this next week, because this is going to be our opening question next week. What does it look like to you, practically, to put on God's armor each day? And so Paul's final word here, before standing, before fighting, before resisting, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Before we fight, we must be strong in the Lord. Because if we're not strong in the Lord, we will falter, we will fail, and we'll find ourselves spiritually out of gas in a ditch on the side of the road. And so we need to ask ourselves tonight, am I relying on God? Or am I relying on myself? Am I fighting battles God never intended me to fight alone? Because listen, we're honest tonight. We all at times fight battles we were never intended to fight alone. God wants us to take our battles to Him. And then this week, you can ask yourself this question. What is one specific step you can take this week to rely more fully on God's strength? Let's pray.